Ephesians 1. And you couldn't do a series like this and leave out this text. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. So if you want to turn here, I'll read it and we'll get into the study. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Now, before I read those verses, I need to summarize the first six verses. The Apostle Paul is writing about an experience that he had of being caught up into heaven and being with the Lord, and just a tremendous thing that occurred. Is that on?
Yes.
Okay. And the danger now is that he's going to become really proud and put himself above others. So in verse 7, he writes, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, in thinking about this, I've looked at this passage many, many times, but I probably went through 10 different outlines in an attempt to approach this passage this morning. And thinking through the purpose of the paragraph, which becomes pretty evident, this paragraph is given to us to reveal God's provision in our trials. And we all need that. There's hardly a word in all the Scripture more comforting than this passage is for us, because we all have trials. So let's begin at verse 7 with Paul's problem, where he says, "Lest I be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation." He's talking about pride. Lest I become egocentric and think of myself too highly because of these glorious revelations, which is a great privilege. You don't find the other apostles or many people speaking of a private revelation such as he had. So there's a temptation to pride. And we might say this passage was also written to reveal how God guards us against pride. And why would God be so interested in that? Because he hates it. In the book of Proverbs, says seven things God hates, and the first thing that's listed is pride, an attitude that we are better than others or that we don't need God. Pride leads to a great deal of trouble. It isolates people. It gives us a wrong perception on life, and that's why it must be guarded. So, Paul had this problem. Well, secondly, then, we see God's action. He says that a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to beat me down, lest I be exalted beyond reason. So, here is God's action. God sent the trial to guard Paul against temptation. Now, today we have this theology called prosperity theology, that you're supposed to be wealthy if you have enough faith, that you're never supposed to be sick, that you shouldn't be in trials, or there's something wrong with you. Now, that's the opposite of the biblical teaching, that trials are ordained of God, and they are a part of our earthly existence, and they are necessary for us to teach us dependence upon God and to guard us against trial. Now, it's an interesting thing, this term, the thorn in the flesh was given to me, which has been discussed and debated by Christians all through the years. What is this thorn in the flesh that Paul was talking about? Well, we don't know for sure, but there is the popular theory that Paul had eye trouble. And when he wrote to Galatians, he ends the letter by saying, "See what with large letters I have written to you." And the thought is that most of his letters were dictated. Somebody else wrote it. But evidently in Galatians, he had written some of it himself. So it's very possible that it was a severe eye problem. Then he said it was a messenger of Satan. God uses Satan as God pleases. When we read the book of Job, we understand that Satan was permitted to bring a great trial to Job, but only under God's supervision and under God's sovereignty. And so, in response to Paul's problem, God sends this trial. Now, we can't analyze why certain trials come to us. In this case, it's not something Paul has done. It's not a punishment. It's a loving corrective tool. So, God sent the trial. The third thing we see in this passage is Paul's prayer. In verse 8, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." So, this is not just a casual thing. He uses a strong term, pleaded. Excuse me. "I pleaded with the Lord," and here is perseverance. Three times. Three major prayer times. He pleaded with the Lord. And then God's answer, verse 9, the classic statement. "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" The sufficiency of grace. My grace is sufficient for you. The Lord did not exhort Paul to do anything differently. He didn't say, "You should be reading your Bible more, or go to church more, or give." Or it's nothing like that. He just said, it's my grace. In a sense, we could say, it's God says, "My love is enough for you. My favor is all you need. Don't look for anything else. It's enough." The sufficiency means adequacy. And the word we use, enough, it's enough. It's a supply. It's a provision. "My grace is all you need." Anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance. Now, let's consider this grace, the source of it. My grace, it's God's grace. And it's we need to ask the question then, how or why is God's grace sufficient? And a couple of negative things that we get out of this. First of all, God's grace did not remove Paul's problem, at least immediately. God didn't take it away. The trial remained. And Paul is saying, God is saying to Paul, I'll take you through this. But the trial is good and necessary. So it did not, the grace didn't remove it. Secondly, it didn't alleviate the pain. Trials hurt. Mentally, emotionally, relationally. It's a pain. It's a sore. And the grace did not immediately alleviate the pain. Well, now then, what did the grace of God do that we learn in this passage? He says, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The grace of God brought the power of Christ to rest upon Paul. The grace of God brings the power of God to rest upon the sufferer. So in the midst of the trial, Paul experiences the power of Christ resting on him. Now, it's an interesting word used for resting. It almost means indwelling. We use something as to rest on another object. It's just there. It's upon it. It rested upon him. The grace of God brings the power of Christ to rest upon the sufferer. Secondly, it reveals God's strength in human weakness. We never really experience God's strength when we think we are strong, when we're relying on our own strength. God's strength is shown through human weakness. And then it produces the right response, which we will look at in a moment, Paul's response through all this. Now notice that there's not one thing coming from Paul. It's not his wisdom. It's not his doing. He's not figuring out how to do this. Medical science is not solving it. It isn't Paul's faith. It's God's grace, which he wants us to rely upon and learn from. Then in this passage, we see Paul's response. First of all, to accept the trial, verse 9. Therefore, most gladly will I rather glory or boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He accepted the trial. He didn't fight it. He didn't curse God. He didn't get angry at God. He didn't question God. He didn't blame others. He didn't make alibis or excuses. He accepted what God had brought. And he accepted the suffering. And that's a great lesson for us to learn, isn't it? To accept if we believe God is in control, and that everything comes from him, and that he has covered our life with a providence that comes to us each day, then we must accept the trials as well as the joys. And this is what Paul was unable to do, and this is a response. I will most gladly, and he uses the word boast, which isn't the way we use it. He means I will accept this trial as coming from God and it's meant for good. That's a great response. Secondly, to rejoice in the power of Christ. In my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'd rather have that than worldly success and all the possessions this world could afford me. I'd rather have the power of Christ. Then in verse 10, he speaks about having pleasure in God's sufficiency. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Take pleasure in God's grace, which is sufficient and enough for us. And Paul then says, I will glory in my weakness in order to receive strength. And the Lord said, my strength is complete in weakness. And when we come to him and confess our inadequacy, our weakness, then his power and strength works in our life. And so here is a great passage of Scripture that is very encouraging to us and is God's message to us as well as to Paul to help us persevere in any trial, any conflict, any difficulty in life. As he said to Paul, he says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. Will we accept that? Will we rejoice in his grace? Will we take pleasure in God's sufficiency? And will we accept our weakness in order to receive his strength? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of 2 Corinthians and how you helped Paul guard against pride, how you sustained him during the trial, and how you taught him how to live in this world. Help us this morning to learn and to receive from you the grace we need as being sufficient for our life today. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.